Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Bergamon family in loving memory of Hilbert Bergamon.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. As Pastor Lauer mentioned before the readings this morning, today is the Feast of All Saints Day, and like a lot of things in the church, we talk about stuff, but there's all kinds of influences that come from all sorts of places that make us think about the things that happen here. And sometimes, you know, sort of unfortunately, they wind up shaping the way that we think about things more than the scriptures themselves do. And saints, I would say, are actually a great example of this, because all of us have all kinds of ideas about what constitutes a saint. And quite frankly, when we use the word saint in here and out there whenever we're walking around, we mean all sorts of different things by it usually. And quite thankfully, this morning, all of our lessons have something to tell us about saints. That's not accidental. We actually picked the readings for the day so that they fit along with it. But if you were to read these lessons sort of in isolation from each other, you could wind up one of two things, either sort of reinforcing ideas about saints that you already had that might not actually be the point that the Bible is trying to make about these people we call saints. Or if you pay close attention to the lessons, you might have some of those ideas maybe broken or reformed or redirected into hopefully a better and more life-giving way. Okay? So I would submit that all three of our lessons for this morning have something particular to say about saints. And if you read it one way or just kind of a cursory glance, you might get an idea that lines up with what people outside of this place might think when we say the word saint. But if you read closely and pick up some of the detail, you might get a more full and better understanding of what it means to be a saint of God. Okay? So we'll start with the first reading, first things first, you know. This fantastic reading from the book of Revelation. I always look forward to reading this or hearing this on All Saints Day. I just love it. This vision that St. John gets of the saints awaiting the coming of the Lord. And they are arrayed in white, and they're this great host gathered from every tribe and language and people and nation from all across the world. All times, all places are gathered together. I actually like it in the hymn we just sang. You might have noticed they're compared to 1,000 mountaintops covered with snow. These people are glorious. And so St. John sees this vision of these people, and one of the elders, an angel or someone there in God's kingdom, comes up to him and says, "Hey, St. John, who are these people? You're seeing this whole host of people. Who are they?" And St. John, though he is in fact a saint, I think quite wisely in that situation, defers to the guy who actually knows. He says, "Sir, you know." That is, tell me. You know, let me know. And the elder says to St. John, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation." This is one of these ideas, I think, that we often get just in kind of the culture of the church or the culture at large. A saint is someone who has experienced great suffering and has endured. Someone who has gone through things that normal people like you and I have never gone through, have experienced extraordinary things. And as a result of that particular and extra special journey, they are therefore particular and extra special people. One example of this that I was just speaking about recently, those of you that were in my Bible class a couple weeks ago, we talked a little bit about a guy by the name of St. Polycarp. And St. Polycarp is someone certainly who went through a great tribulation and was a particular, an amazing man. He was a bishop in Smyrna in Asia Minor in the first centuries of the church. He himself learned, we are told, from St. John himself. St. John was St. Polycarp's pastor. And he was then a pastor and a pastor to pastors. But ultimately, St. Polycarp was picked up as one of the first martyrs. In fact, the account that we have of his martyrdom, of his death on account of preaching faith in Jesus Christ, is the first one that we have, aside from St. Stephen, in the book of Acts. And if you read that account, oh my goodness, you get the idea that this man is just an amazing, faithful Christian man, and he was. But don't forget, the last sentence that the elder said to St. John in our lesson for this morning. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Okay, St. Polycarp, got it. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, the point here is not the greatness of the tribulation that the saint comes out of. The point is that the saints, all of them, all of us, go through tribulations. But what makes them saints is that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It was a lot easier last night because, believe it or not, Saturday night we had a baptism. So I could just point at the baby and say, washed their robes and made them white. And everyone's going, oh, yeah, okay, the Lutheran pastor thing, right? And I could gesture at the Lord's Supper and say, in the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, God is making saints here today in this room. We're going to skip the second one for now. We'll go to the gospel lesson. This is, of course, some of the most famous words in the whole Bible. Right, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This gives us a second picture of what it means to be a saint, and often how we what we think it means to be a saint. And that is, saints are utterly upright and moral people. They live unimpeachable lives that look nothing like the lives that we normal folks live. They're sort of cut from a more holy cloth than all of us are. And that's what makes them saints. They are glowing, and we're down here in the muck, and we just have hardly anything in common with them. They're barely human in most of our estimations. But here's the thing. In the case of any saint, you should know, with the exception of St. Michael and all angels that we talked about a few weeks ago, that they're humans. And knowing what you know about humanity, that in fact our nature is corrupted and soiled by sin, then you know that all people, and therefore all saints, have only been made saints from the raw material of sinful people. And so in fact all saints start as sinners. And the fact that they are made saints by God is only because He in fact makes them saints. You might say again, by washing their robes and making them white in the blood of the Lamb. Only by calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying them by His word, only by absolving them of their sins, are any sinners ever made saints. But here's the thing, and my goodness, the Beatitudes could be at least at least one sermon series by themselves, but that still leaves things a little bit too far in the future, I would say, because it's especially important to pay attention to the last so-called beatitude right at the ending. Jesus is talking to all these people. He's talking, it sounds like, people who are far away from him. Blessed are, you know, those people who are poor in spirit. I'm not talking to my audience now. I know you guys aren't poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. That's not you guys, but those people over there who are mourning. But he reframes the whole thing at the end by saying, blessed are you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven right now, today. Because our God and Father has seen fit to make you a saint. He has washed you and forgiven you your sins and cleansed you and made you white in the blood of the Lamb. So are saints morally upright people? Of course. Eventually, all of us will be perfected in God. But we all start from the same place. And one last one, because it didn't quite fit as well with my little contrived scheme this morning. The misunderstanding doesn't come exactly from the text itself, but I think it's a pretty common understanding of what it means to be a saint. Most of us think that saints are dead people. Saints are dead people. This is one of the most common ways that I hear the word saint used, and probably one of the most common ways that I use the word saint, right? I might refer to my grandfather as sainted, right? Because it's kind of nicer than saying that he died. Am I making this up? You guys familiar with this usage of the word saint? Normally, when we think of saints, we think of people who have died. But let me remind you of this amazing, just this sentence is fantastic from St. John's epistle this morning. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. I don't think I need to tell you this, but just to be absolutely clear, when St. John wrote those words, he wasn't dead. And just to be absolutely clear again, when St. John wrote this letter, the people that he was writing to weren't dead. All right? Meaning, St. John is writing to people who are still alive. What love the Father has given to us that we would be called children of God, and so we are. We are presently, right now, today, the holy saints of God. The ones that in the eyes of our Father are shining, as that hymn line said, like 1,000 mountaintops covered in snow. Because your robe has been washed clean of sin and shines bright white in the blood of the Lamb. The reality is, brothers and sisters, that all of God's people are His holy saints. Whether you've gone through great tribulation, been burned at the stake even, like St. Polycarp, whether you're morally upright or less so, all of us have been given the Father's love to make us children of God today. And all of us, living and breathing or waiting for the resurrection of their flesh, are waiting for the return of our Lord. The reason why the world does not know us, doesn't see us or think of us as the saints that we are, you might say, is that it did not know Him, did not recognize our Lord for who He was. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. So think of yourselves today as the saint that you are, despite how things look, despite what you think they might be, because at the return of our Lord, all things will be revealed. And your true nature as the saint that God has made you to be will be made plain for all to see. To the praise and the glory of God forever and ever. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.